Thank you. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 127 again. There's some people here, I think, probably that were not here last week. And so what we'll do each time, we'll just read that passage, and I'll be able to explain to you why I have my bows and arrows. Let me explain one thing right now. I was out cutting my crepe myrtle bushes down the driveway, and when I was doing that back in March, I saw bows and arrows, and that's what these are. These are from my crepe myrtles, but I'll explain a little more about this later. But Psalm 127, beginning with verse 1, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Now, I didn't tell this last week, but that first verse, where is Ray? Do you remember speaking on Psalm 127 one time here? Yeah. Well, see, when I hear different ones speak, if there's a verse that really stands out to me, I put that in my memory verse. So that's how I get a lot of my memory verses. Told you I had 100 and some references. Now, that's references. Like James, I have verses 1 through 27 of chapter 1. So I'm telling you the references. I'm not telling you how many verses there are. But that's one of them, because that stood out. And there's been others, so... You know, if somebody doesn't get your outline or anything, they might get one verse out of your message that they're going to keep saying over and over and over again. I told you that, and it says there in Psalm 127, "Happy is everyone who has their quiver full." I have 11 arrows in my quiver. Now, a lot of you might think that just applies to parents and their children. But I have 2 daughters, 2 son-in-laws, 6 grandchildren, and my wife. And so each one of the arrows is here. And I feel like I have a responsibility to them. But I also told you that we can use a lot of bows to shoot those arrows. It's not just us. It's not just the Word of God. Each one of you is a bow to shoot somebody's arrow. Even if you don't have children, you're the bow to shoot that arrow. And I'll tell you what, sometimes those arrows aren't very straight. And you know, when you aim them for the target, a lot of times they'll miss and they go off to the other side. And I think probably a lot of us in here have had that experience of those arrows just would not go the way we wanted them to go. It says in Philippians 3:14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And that's our responsibility with the bows, as we're shooting those arrows toward the mark, that they might hit it. Now, what I'm doing is I've taken from the book of Proverbs verses that I want to challenge my family with. And so each one of them has a verse from the book of Proverbs. And I went to the chapter that corresponds to the day of the month that they were born on. So I did 4 of them last week. And this is going to be my little test. I told you that my goal this year is to memorize all those verses that I've given to my family so I can quote them to them next Christmas. And so here's my little test to see if I've gotten those first 4 down. The first one is our granddaughter Anna. She's 18 months old. She was born on the 2nd of October, so her verse is Proverbs 2:6. "He giveth, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Her dad, Scott, was born on the 2nd of April. And his verse is Proverbs 2:7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler unto them that walk uprightly. And then the third one is my verse. And it's Proverbs, my birthday is May the 10th. And it's Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. And then Loretta's verse, she was born on November the 12th, and her verse is Proverbs 12, 28. In the way of righteousness there is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. And these are verses that I picked to challenge them. Now, tonight I have four, and they're all from the same family. It's Sylvie's. Would you look over at Proverbs chapter 13? Proverbs chapter 13. Our oldest grandchild, Zachary Sylvie. Many of you remember Zachary from when I would bring him to different things that we had. And Zachary and I really were able to bond together. I was working at a place in Greensboro where I worked 6 out of 7 days, and then I was off for 7 days. Well, those days I was off, I kept Zachary. And so I spent a lot of time with him and did things with him. And so I really got to know him. He was born on October the 13th. That year, at Christmas, 2 months, I bought him a radio flower wagon with a wooden wagon with sides, and everybody was making fun of me. He's not going to be able to ride in that wagon. Well, you know, he eventually got to. He didn't that year. But, you know, that's the excitement when you have your first grandchild and you want to do all kinds of things for him. So he got a lot of things before any other kids came along. Before I look at this, though, I want to give you another reason why I'm doing this. Why am I using Proverbs to challenge my family? Why am I using Proverbs to be the bow to shoot that arrow? It's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I know most of you are familiar with that, but in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, it's where Moses was challenging the children of Israel before they went into the promised land. And listen to what he said. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently. Notice that, underline that. Teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them as signs upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Moses was saying to the children of Israel, saturate your homes with God's Word. Saturate your home. I want you to talk about it when you get up in the morning. I want to talk about it as you go to your jobs. I want you to talk about it when you go to bed at night. I want you to write it on the doorpost of your house. I remember many years ago, Ted Rendell up at Prairie Bible Institute, he was the pastor of a little church we went to called Bethel Fellowship Church, and he gave a message once, and it was taken from one of the kings of Israel, and the question was asked of that king, what have they seen in thine house? And that was his question. What have they seen in your house? And one of the things that he emphasizes, having the Scripture on the walls, having the Scripture up where others could see it. What have they seen in thy house? Now we come to Zachary. Zachary is 15 years old, and he will be 16 this year. This year we're going to have 3 teenagers in our family. And you know, We think of teenagers and we dread to see it happen. You know, we hate to see those kids grow up to be teenagers. They're breaking out on their face and they're speaking Duke and all this. I remember a guy saying, and you kids, you remember this too. I remember a guy saying his favorite words in the Bible were, "It came to pass. It came to pass." And that will come to pass too, those teenage years. But Zachary's verse is Proverbs 13 and verse 20. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." The New Living Translation says, "Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble." He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. That's a good verse for every one of you who are possibly soon to become teenagers. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. In other words, watch the kind of friends you pick. Pick people who are going to challenge you, who are going to build you up, who are going to encourage you. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. I told you the meaning of wisdom last week. I'll give it to you again. It's seeing all of the circumstances of life from God's point of view. So you, as young people, as children, looking at life from God's point of view. I know years ago we had this thing going on in our country. What would Jesus do? That's a good question to ask. What would Jesus do? I heard some people on the news the other night bringing that out about what Jesus would do. And it was over the gay situation, gay marriages. And I thought, boy, they had a wrong interpretation of that. They hadn't looked at the Scripture to see. I mean, you think about Jesus. When He was here on the earth, He even criticized the religious leaders of His day. He told them they were a bunch of whitewashed sepulchers, whitewashed graves. He told them that they were of their father, the devil. Looking at life from God's point of view. Over in Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. I'll give you a minute to look at that. Here's still talking about walking with wise men and being wise. The first verse, and it's talking about the blessed man. But the first verse says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He stands not in the way of sinners. He sits not in the seat of the scornful. He's disciplined. He's disciplined. He has disciplined himself to walk in the ways of the Lord, to honor Him. And he's not going to listen to the ungodly counsel of the world. And there's plenty of it out there. And all of you can find it. You don't have to look very far. The second verse says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." The next D is delight. He's disciplined. He's delighted. The thing that he really enjoys most is the Word of God. And he meditates in it. And look at that. He meditates in it day and night. He's saturating himself with the Word of God. And then the third one says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." He's dedicated. He's disciplined. He's delighted. And he's dedicated. He's dedicated to the Lord. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And that tree that it's describing there is an evergreen. When the winter comes and all the leaves fall off the trees, he's still green. he still stands out, even when there's death all around him. I used to take prisoners out to church here in Reedsville. Used to take them to Community Baptist Church. My senior year in Bible school, my roommate had been saved in prison. And I saw the change in him. I never heard him say a swear word the whole time that I was living with him for that many years. This boy, how he found out about the school was he was out giving out tracts to people in a restaurant. He was still gambling and he was still drinking when he sent in an application to go to school. And they wrote back to him and said, "We would suggest that you drop these habits from your life before you come to school." And that's why I say, what I saw in him, I thought, you know what? If he didn't have anybody to disciple him, I need to call the prison and see if they'll let me come out there and have Bible studies and have church services. They said, "Oh, yeah." He said, the guy told me, he said, "I've been trying to find people to come. You're the first one that's called me." And we started taking our young people from Community Baptist out there with us, and they were going back to the high school over here and bringing the Gideon New Testaments and all this for us to take out there to these prisoners. And they were all getting excited about this. Well, one Sunday night, I had other guys that were helping. I could take five out myself, but I had other guys helping me. And two of them escaped on me that Sunday night. And the church told me I couldn't bring any more back. They caught them 3 months later. One was in Arizona and one was in California. And the one that had escaped, he was going to be out on parole in another few weeks. And he had me to come to court to give a good word for him when he was being tried for escaping. But here, these prisoners, when I would work with them, they all wanted me to write letters to the parole board. But they would tell me, I didn't do this. I didn't do it. And so many prisoners will tell you that the things that I have done is because I ran around with the wrong crowd. You know that? There's a lot of parents that give that excuse because of what their children have done. You know, they say, well, they were with the wrong crowd. And it was the wrong crowd that influenced them. Over in 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 3 through 19, Solomon has died, the king of Israel. His son Rehoboam is taken over as king. There's another man by the name of Jeroboam, and he was critical of Solomon, and Solomon wanted to kill him, so he was in exile until he heard that Solomon had died. So he comes back, and the people of Israel are gathered around him, and they're coming and facing Rehoboam, and they're asking him if he would make things easier for them than what his father had done. Rehoboam said, "Go away for 3 days, and when you come back, I'll give you my answer." He went to the older men who had advised his father, and they told him to become a servant king to the people. In other words, make things easier for the people than what your father did. And then he went to his peers, his friends, and he asked them. And they said, make things harder for them. Don't make things easier for them. Remember, that verse said, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. He sought out the wise counsel of these older men who had counseled his father, but he rejected their counsel and listened to the young men. Make things harder for them. And when all the dust had settled, Rehoboam only had two tribes of Israel that he reigned over. And that was Judah and Benjamin. And the rest of them went with Jeroboam, 10 tribes, and formed Israel. All because he didn't listen to the wisdom of those wise men. He could have been reigning over the whole kingdom, but he didn't listen. The verse goes on to say, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. When I see that word fool, and you children, if you're not supposed to say this word, don't say it, because my grandchildren tell me this is a bad word. But when I see that word fool, I think of stupid. You know? I think that's a... maybe that'll make it register in your mind. A companion of the stupid will be destroyed. When we listen to the ungodly counsel of the unwise, we will be destroyed. Psalm 1:6 says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Proverbs 1:32 says, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." The word fool is a morally undesirable individual who despises wisdom and discipline. If you looked, and you can look at it later, but if you look at Proverbs chapter 1, you're going to see a young man. And think about this. Solomon wrote Proverbs. This was his son Rehoboam that didn't take the counsel of Proverbs to heart. But in chapter 1 of Proverbs, you're going to see a young man that went and he was living communally with others who were going in the wrong direction. And it brought destruction. It brought heartache. Zachary. Proverbs 13, verse 20. The next one is Zachary's mom and our daughter, Andrea. Andrea was born on August the 17th. Her verse is Proverbs 17, 22. Andrea had psoriasis, and that's breaking out all over in your skin and all. But she also has psoriatic arthritic condition. And when I picked this verse out, I didn't know all this was going to happen to her. But you know, they tell you when you have that, that you don't need to be depressed. You don't need to be discouraged. She's went through a lot of things during this time that she's had that would discourage anybody, would depress anybody. But this is a verse, Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. I did have a reason for picking that one for Andrea. Some of them, I didn't pick them because of their personalities, but I did for her. Because she was the bubbly one in the family. And she was the life of the party. Like Loretta said, Andrea went and Brenna both went through to the 8th grade at Community Baptist School. When she went to Rockingham County High School, she thought that school was built for her. You know? She did. She thought it was built for her. When Brenna became a teenager, I put a telephone in her room because I knew Brenna wouldn't talk on it. And if any of you know Brenna, she still doesn't like to talk on the telephone. She'll talk to me a lot. She might talk to Della a lot, but she doesn't like to talk on the telephone. I had a dad that didn't like to talk on the phone. He would have us to make phone calls for him. Well, then Andrea came along, and we had to put call wait in here. So you see the difference. And the New International Version says for Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries the bones. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A medicine you don't have to pay for. Happiness contributes to physical health. I remember people telling me when we were up in Canada on the staff at Prairie Bible Institute, they say that there was a doctor there in town. This doctor had been a missionary doctor, but he was anything but a Christian. He didn't act like a Christian. I remember when I was sick once and he came to the school to see me, And I was saying, yes, sir, to him. And he got mad. He thought I was mocking him for saying that. But he said that he had these people that came to the Institute to see him. He said most of them, their mental problems they're having, it's not anything to do with their health. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. With this arthritic condition, I've told my grandchildren, I said, every chance you get, I want you to make your mom laugh. Do it every day. Find something to make her laugh about. You see, they moved down to Apex. She was supposed to do walking. They said that was good for this arthritic condition to walk. She found her a job through a lady in the church they go to walk dogs. So she gets paid for walking. And she loves dogs, and she doesn't have to take them home with her. She's able to walk them and then leave them, you know. But she's getting, you know, she's getting her exercise. She's getting nice Christmas bonuses for walking these people's dogs. Even one of them went overseas somewhere. She had to go to their house every day and water their piano. They had a player piano. And for some reason, it had to be watered. And she got paid for watering their piano. So, you see how the Lord works in situations like this and how He brings you into these situations. But a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And because she likes dogs and likes animals, that's something else to give her that merry heart when she gets to go and walk her dogs. Proverbs 15 and verse 13 says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. It makes a cheerful face, a cheerful appearance, a merry heart. They say it takes more muscles in the face to frown than it does to smile. But then the other part of that verse is, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. It's bad for your health. 2 Corinthians 12:9. This is Paul's words. Paul had prayed that thorn in the flesh would be removed 3 times. And he says here in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Glory in our infirmities. A cheerful heart. In James 1, 2 through 4. It says there, and I'm reading this from the New International Version, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So Andrew's verse, Proverbs 17:22. The next one is Victoria, or Tori is what we call her. Tori is 12 years old. Her birthday is April the 24th. So she's one that's going to be a teenager pretty soon. And her verse is Proverbs 24:3. Now her dad questioned me. She's Zachary's sister and Andrea's daughter. But he questioned me about that verse, Proverbs 24:3. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding, it is established. Listen to the New Living Translation. A house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding, it is established. Again, we've given that definition. It's looking at life situations, at life circumstances, from God's point of view, wisdom. And the wisdom that's spoken of here is wisdom that comes from the Word of God. We talked about it last week, about the wisdom that is from above. It's pure, peaceable. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work." All Scripture. All Scripture is given to teach us, to train us, to guide us. The Bible is our roadmap from here to heaven. Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And then what we had there in Psalm 127, 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Through wisdom is a house building. And you might say, well, why would you say that to a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old? But you know what? That should be your goal. That should be you young people's goals from the very start. As you start following the Lord and living for Him, make that your goal and make that your prayer, that you will develop a home of wisdom. Through wisdom is a house built. And then it says, "And by understanding it is established." And the word understanding is putting that wisdom into practice. Wisdom is seeing situations from God's point of view. Understanding is responding to all of life's situations as God would. James 1:25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." God promises blessing. So Tori's verse is Proverbs 24:3. Now we come to the last one. Zachary's dad, Tori's dad, Andrea's husband, Ryan Silver. Ryan was born on November the 26th. And if you've ever read Proverbs 26, you'll see there's not a lot of good verses in there. The word fool is in there 11 times in that one chapter. There have been some things that have happened in Ryan's life that there are some other verses I might have picked out for him. But there's one thing I noticed about him since he's come into our family. He keeps things to himself. He doesn't really share with you a lot. He stays pretty silent about things. He doesn't make comments about himself, and he doesn't make comments about others too much. Well, his verse is Proverbs 26:20. And you look through the chapter, I don't think there's not another good verse you're going to find in there. A whole chapter. Proverbs 26:20. "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." So I did have a little bit about his personality in picking that verse, but it was the only one he could find that wouldn't be offensive to him, you know? You look at Proverbs 26, and let's see, Proverbs 26 and verse 11. "As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly." You see, I wouldn't have given him that verse, but I did write to him when he was at Pure Life Ministry and said, "I hope I don't have to pick that verse for you." "Where no wood is, the fire goeth out." It's not talking about a fire really here. It's talking about the tongue. And you know James talked about that. He talked about it in James 3, 5, and 6. "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Where no wood is, the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases." quarrels disappear when gossip stops. That's what the New Living Translation says. So, I think that verse is a challenge. It's a challenge to Ryan. I think it's a challenge to every one of us. Don't stoke up the fire by using our tongues. So many problems in churches have come about by the tongue. Let me give you an illustration. I already told you about the prisoners escaping on me. Loretta and I was over at Community Baptist sitting on the front porch. I rode around with Bobby Vernon. He was the captain of the prison camp then. I was riding around with him all night looking for these guys. They walked back in behind the church and went over to the Catholic church, and they'd already made plans with their girlfriends to pick them up over there. Well, I was out there. We were out there at 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. I finally called the pastor and told him, said, two prisoners escaped on me. He said, yeah, I know. Some of the women in the church have police band radios, and they've already told me. And by that Wednesday, I was told, you can't bring any more prisoners back to church. They're afraid they're going to escape, and they're going to take some of them. So you see what the telephone can do and how we can really get things stirred up. And, I mean, I was still able to go out and have Bible studies, and the captain said, you can take some more prisoners out. You can take some more prisoners out next week if you want to. They had three to escape from the camp that same night when I lost two of them. We had about seven out that night, I think. So, you know, that's something we all need to guard on. We talked about this when we were talking about Proverbs chapter 6, that last thing that God says an abomination to Him, those that sow discord among brethren. And we can really sow some discord. We get on the phone and start talking about something that's going on in the church, and we start giving information that we don't have the whole details about it. It's gossip. And God condemns it in His Word. So here we have it. Zachary, Sylvie, Proverbs 13:20. Andrea, Sylvie, Proverbs 17:22. Victoria, Sylvie, Proverbs 24:3. And Ryan, Sylvie, Proverbs 26:20. And this wasn't planned for this to come out this way. I just went through Proverbs, and this is the way their birthdays line up. So we have four more next week. Thank you.